Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. How are you, Aaron?
I'm doing well.
I'm glad.
Okay, looks like Ken has come as a participant. So we'll go ahead and get him promoted. Hey Ken, we have you as a panelist now, but there you go.
Yeah, sorry.
No problem at all.
Hey, morning, Stanley. Morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Destiny, Aaron. How are y'all?
All good.
Well, how are you?
I'm good. I seem to have lost Aaron's invitation, so I thought I'd come aboard as a citizen.
Well, we were able to promote you, so no problem there.
Yeah, I appreciate the promotion.
The link is always on the Arts Commission website. So if you lose the email, it's always there. So
I did, thank you. I went to the link, but apparently I clicked the wrong one. It was just a test. I wanted to see how it was working.
got you here.
So we have a quorum.
Do we have a quorum? Is it four?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, okay.
So do you want me to start or shall we give it a minute?
Bill should be joining. He asked for
There we
the
go. Morning, Steve.
Morning.
Morning.
How are you all doing? How are you? We're gonna
I'm
wait one
good.
more minute for Joel. Sounds like Joel's coming in.
Yeah. How are you?
I am hanging on by a thread.
You had a really busy week with this and school.
Always right now. It's not a normal world.
It's true for all of us.
Yeah.
Different ways.
I had a boss at a museum that I worked at who used to say, "There are no art emergencies." So you can use that, Jennifer.
I can.
When your students are bugging you, so.
Whoa.
You have to give credit to Stanley first at least three times, and then it's yours.
And Stanley, I have to admit, I've stolen that joke and similarly said there's never a land use emergency in my work, so.
Perfect. Perfect. That's good.
Morning.
Morning, Cassie.
Hi, sorry about that. I could not locate my Zoom link for some reason.
All right. Well, we probably should start just because are there people out in the audience, Aaron?
In the audience, there is one person who is unidentified. There's no name associated with them, and Peter Finkel is also here in the audience.
Okay. Is Paige here? Paige Gearhart?
From the Fringe Festival, correct? Yes. I got an email late last night that said pretty bad stomach flu, may not attend. But I was thinking that, and we can address this whenever you'd like. I have a copy of the presentation. I was thinking that even in Paige's absence, we could discuss it, have a motion, and endorse it because we've done this every year for them. And so I leave that to you.
Okay, I was just seeing if they were there or not. Thanks for that update. Okay, let's call the meeting to order and welcome you all. Good to see you. I'm going to kind of monitor my computer. It's kind of on the fritz, and so it makes a lot of noise. It heats up fast and it whirs around. So if it seems like it's bothering you, say, Jennifer, turn down your sound. But maybe I'll try to turn off my sound as much as possible. If I'm doing that is not as out of disrespect. I just wanted you to know. And it's whirring up right now. So before we go any further, are there any additions to the agenda that you would like me to add?
I'm looking for, we had that feedback from a citizen wanting us to change the time of our meetings. Is that on your agenda? I'm looking.
Nope.
I think maybe we should chat about that a little bit.
Okay. We'll put it in, I guess, other business.
Yeah.
Anything else? Okay. Second thing, maybe you all did this. I did it last night. Have you reviewed the minutes? Do you have any changes to the minutes from last time?
Nope.
Would anyone like to make a motion?
I move we accept the minutes as provided.
A second.
Great. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Terrific. Thank you. All right. So this is actually when we would have heard from Paige. So Aaron, maybe you can show us this presentation.
Yep.
And as Aaron's bringing his screen up to share with us, you're all new here except for Steve and Stanley. About this time last year, Paige Gearhart, who is in charge of the Oregon Film Festival, which is a festival that takes place at SOU and actually beyond the walls of SOU, related to Fringe. And that means like creativity, but not necessarily always the way we expect them to be. They are creating a banner to put in across Main Street, and they need our approval for that. So Paige came last year and would have come today, and this is the presentation that they have given us. So I kind of gave you the basics there, but as you can see, it's a multi-day event. They have boundary-breaking free expression, unconventional art. They want to express ideas. They want to engage students and community through the ideas and stories. Why do they need a banner? Because they want the community to know what's happening and come to the events. It helps to engage the community, and it creates a diverse array of creative arts and performances. And so it really is important to make sure we're sharing these events that are maybe started by SOU with the general populace. So Paige came to ask for our approval for the banner as per the rules of our city. And now I open up the floor to ask you your feelings. Aaron, you want to say anything more?
Yeah, I just want to add one item is the policy is that for organizations that are being funded in some way by the city, they can bypass this step because it's being endorsed by the city already. Because they are not receiving city funds, to get a banner, they need an endorsement of one of the advisory commissions. So I would just add that.
Right. Okay. And they are, I imagine, through the city, they're purchasing the use of the banner, correct?
I believe there may be a permit fee, but it's not significant.
Okay.
Do we know what the banner says yet?
I don't. It's normally something just that says, you know, the Fringe Festival title and the dates. They're normally pretty simple because they want the text to be big.
Okay.
For purpose of discussion, I move that we approve it.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Does anyone have any discussion or wish to have any comments at this point? All right. Well, if I don't hear any comments, then let's take a vote. Everyone in favor of the Fringe Fable receiving a banner for Main Street?
Aye.
Hand up so I can see it. Destiny, are you an aye? Great. Any nays, abstentions? Looks like it passes. All right, good news. We can pass that on to Paige through email. Thanks, Aaron. Okay, Let's see. We are back, or we are here with liaison reports, and welcome back, Steve. We hope you had a good month last month. Would you like to tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Thank you, Madam Chair. In no particular order, I'm just going to run down through some items that probably are the more salient items the council is directing. Like I said, no particular order here, so there's community development, community center. There are some developments there. The ad hoc group put forward a plan. The city council approved the plan. The ad hoc group failed to do one important thing, was to consult and roll into their proposal the vital input from the building inspector. And as it turns out, the building inspector feels very uncomfortable with opening that building without a engineered, stamped, current analysis of the roof structure that it is safe. Our city attorney also feels very uncomfortable. And when attorneys get uncomfortable, city elected officials get uncomfortable. And so the long and short of it is that ad hoc community plan is not moving forward as planned. The Public Works is now putting out an RFP for engineering groups to come forward with a with a proposal. They will be selected somewhere in February, and they will come forward with an analysis plan and so on and so on. Scott Flurry, Director of Public Works, said a best case scenario would probably be the community center would probably maybe be open a year from now. Now, you all mostly here have worked in the halls of government in one form or another, and you know that things move slow. So that's probably not a shock to some. It is a jaw-dropping shock to others that would like to see the community center opened up, but the risk is too great, and so on. Pioneer Hall, on the other hand, can be opened up. It's my understanding. The only thing that's preventing that opening up is COVID restrictions, which we hope can be lifted sometime in the near future, but it's unclear. The other interesting thing, as we get down the weeds here a little bit, is Ashland Parks and Rec Commission has taken on the business of running both Community Center and Pioneer Hall. The renting, the calendar, the fees, the, you know, and so on. Given their current budget status and so on and so on, it's unclear whether they want to take that burden back on, which kind of throws it back on to Public Works. And Public Works has been very public about that they are not very good landlords. So it's unclear how that's going to be run. Particularly with APRC being so beleaguered financially, and that's a whole other story. So anyway, that's the current state of community development. The irony is that we had a proposal from Marcus and Associates to move this forward about 6 months ago. If we would have voted for that, in favor of that, which it wasn't, we would be way ahead of the game right now in terms of the analysis and opening up and repair of that building. But it's one of those ironies that we're kind of back to square one, sadly. All right.
Did anybody articulate what is wrong with the roof?
It's got a, I've had several visits with Dale Shostrom, who's been intimately involved in the community center for years. I think we all know Dale Shostrom. He's a very well-respected builder designer in this town. There's a 12 to 15 inch sag in the roof. There is a the one wall is considerably out of plumb. There's some foundation issues. There's some issues with the ridgeline that has another sag in it. It's a very convoluted truss system that's up in there, and the engineering analysis of it is tricky and really needs to be professionally analyzed, which it's been done in the past, but there's been a 15 year or so time lag between the last time it was done and now, and that's why the building inspector is uncomfortable. He's not sure that sag is still continuing to sag, and the wall out of plumb and so on. So it's anyway, that's probably more information you probably want to know, but it's sad in a way, because that was a vital community building and we would love to see it open back up again, but it's got to be opened up under the right circumstances. So, okay, next item is there was a considerable council and staff time devoted to looking at whether we want to hook up our wastewater to Medford. Very simply put, I'm not going to get down in the weeds on that. There was an analysis done, there was a presentation done, and it looked like it was going to cost us roughly $500,000 to even come up with an analysis of whether that was a go or not. It involves the city of Medford, who owns the treatment plant out on Kirkland Road. It involves Rogue Valley Sewer Services, who is the collecting regional body that collects all the sewer from Phoenix and Talent and so on. It would be a massive project. It would take water out of the creek that is very valuable water. And the long and short of it is, on a 4-2 vote, and I made the motion that we table this. We table it for the near future, and it will not be opened back up again for discussion unless it's part of a wastewater and water master plan reevaluation, which is a ways down the road. So anyway, that one's been kind of analyzed and put to bed. I think a lot of folks in town have a little bit of trouble with shipping our wastewater all the way to the Rogue River on the other side of Central Point. From a sustainability standpoint, from a self-care standpoint, from a redundancy standpoint, from a resiliency standpoint, it really had some issues. Okay, the next one is the city manager search. We are well underway with our city manager search. We have We have interviewed candidates. The community group, citizen leader group, has interviewed candidates. I don't know, Aaron, were you in on any of the interviews with the staff? Okay, senior staff also interviewed the five candidates, and we are close to some kind of an offer, and that's about as far as I can go on that one. But one thing I will say in general, without naming names, that we have several very, I think, very capable and qualified candidates. And so I'm more hopeful than I was 4 or 5 months ago, when it looked pretty bleak as far as getting an array of candidates from which we would have a good choice. The finance director might be the second most important position in our municipal government. Melanie Purcell left after a year, and we engaged Allison Kahn from who is a Medford finance director for quite a while to come over and fill in as an interim. And I've got to say, she is doing an absolutely fantastic job, even though she's working part-time. And we've had several meetings with her. She made a major presentation at the last council meeting. And I just feel incredibly blessed to have Allison Kahn on board with the very, very complex and intertwined finances that a city of our size, and a city not only of our size, but a city that has so many different services that we offer far and above many other cities of our size. So we're absolutely blessed to have her on board. There is some suggestion that she might take a longer position, but that's a work in progress. That's some of the big issues. Budget, general fund, we're continuing to grind through that. The fire department and ambulance made in detail presentation last Monday, which really pointed out the good, the bad, and the ugly relative to their situation. It is getting better. The staffing situation has improved. They've got some new hires coming on board. One of the battalion chiefs who had been injured is back on board. And the one thing I've got to say is our new fire chief, Ralph Sartain, who used to be our fire marshal, has really grown into that job. And I have a lot of confidence that Ralph is going to be able to do this job and all the complexities and the financial challenges that we have coming down the road. So anyway, that's the latest of the highlights. And I would be open to, I don't know, Jennifer, how long we want to take doing this, but any questions. I'm trying to think of if there's anything in particular with public art. Aaron, have we got anything as far as city council on the drawing board for public art? I don't think that there is.
No, not that I'm aware of.
Right.
Thank you, Steve. Does anyone have questions, comments that they would like to ask, Councillor Jensen? All right. Well, thank you. That was very thorough.
Thank you. I have to, if I can say, I have to bail here shortly, but I would like to be a little bit a part of that discussion of the meeting times. Would that be appropriate to kind of just shoehorn that in here now? Because the email was sent to me, and I don't know if you guys were, did I copy you on it, or did Mr. Fellman, did he copy you on it? I can't remember what that train was. I think I forwarded it to you and Stanley, I believe.
Aaron, I think you know. Okay, so let me just cap. You were sent an email that a citizen of Ashland asked, why are we holding Public Art Commission at 8:30 in the morning? And they said in the email, all other commissions have their meetings in the evening after business hours, which is better for people who are working, and wants that to happen, or suggests that we change. We all know this has been established for almost 20 years ish. And so it's always been this time. That's my answer. My answer to you all. If there's a need or a discussion, I mean, I would open it up. Do people feel so? There's two things that come to my mind. Do people here wish to have this meeting in an evening? Are we required to have this meeting in the evening? And my question to Aaron, perhaps, and Steve Jensen is, what night would that be? Like, what times are available, even if there's other commissions?
Do you want me to respond to that?
Sure.
So if we were meeting in person, I would need to discuss that with front office staff, because we would be meeting in one of the few meeting spaces that we have. Being virtual, there's no conflicts in having multiple Zooms on the same night. There is no established meeting time by ordinance. When I first started staffing the PAC, it actually met at 8 a.m. and there was a desire to shift it to 8:30. And that was just done by a motion and a vote of the commission. And as I understand it, Steve, please correct me if I'm wrong, that is, unless it's established by the ordinance, that can be just set by the commission's will.
That's my understanding too. One of the things that we don't have with us tonight, and I think that Stanley might, the mantle might fall to you as having the most institutional knowledge, that all the folks that had that could probably speak to that. I would be reluctant to change the time. It's worked for so long. The individual who wrote the letter has been, has been challenging in some other arenas relative to commission actions and so on and so on. So I personally would like would had need to see much more of a groundswell from the community to have us change our time rather than to respond at this point, other than respectfully. And I think I will reply to Mr. Fellman and with the upshot of what we come up with today, but my inclination would be to, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, I don't think we necessarily need to put it to a formal vote. I mean, is there a consensus here? Would anybody rather meet in the evening? No. So, yeah, I mean, I think that if you want a response, Steve, just say, nope, we're keeping our time slot. We like it.
Right. And what I might do is I might visit with Sandy Friend one time, I might even visit with either Sandy or both Ann Seltzer and Sandy to get a little bit of background on this that, to kind of support our position. But anyway, good. Thank you. Thank you for letting me insert that little item and carry on.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Aaron, you might have comments throughout our agenda, but would you like to say anything in your report?
Yeah, the only thing I would say right now is the city buildings continue to be closed. We continue to follow COVID policy closely. I don't have visibility on when that might change. Steve just left. My understanding is that the last time they extended the emergency order, it extended it through their next meeting, which is December 6th. In watching council meetings, I haven't gotten the impression that there's much of an appetite to return to in-person. So while I don't know it, it's not going to surprise me at all if this continues. It seems to be the theme. I've heard in the last couple of days a number of companies that had established return to office dates of January or February, and those dates are being pushed. You know, this continues to be the life that we're living. And anyway, so that's really all I have in terms of that. And then I'll speak when we get to the other items.
Okay, thank you. Thanks so much. Jim Lewis, I imagine, is not here.
One last thing. I just noticed, Jennifer, when we did the endorsement for Oregon Fringe Festival, that was public forum. We didn't, there are two members in the audience, Peter Finkel and the one person who's unidentified. Do you want to query them to see if they?
Sure.
Okay.
We have to.
All right. So, Peter, did you have anything to say today with regard to public forum?
I do not. I am happy to see you guys moving forward, and I will send you some an email or two in the next few weeks.
Thanks, Peter. And whomever this other person is who doesn't have a name, did you want to speak? You can go ahead and unmute if you'd like to. And if you don't, we'll go ahead and move on. Okay, so I think we can go ahead and carry on.
Okay. Since Jim Lewis isn't here, I think this will be a good segue between the APRC report and the next topic, which is the Say Their Names Coalition, or what I mean by that is Say Their Names Collective. I guess because if the APRC was here, I'd have them talk about this. Fortunately, I did talk with Mike Gardner, and he has updated me on the numerous times that the collective has come and presented at Parks meetings. So that was very helpful for me to get some communication from the Parks Commission related to what the collective has been doing. So at this point, from what I understand also, they did meet recently at the last meeting for APRC. It sounds like there was somewhat of an approval of two specific sites that could house public art related to the collective, that it sounds like there's an understanding and an agreement. I haven't been able to see these minutes yet, but just wanted you to know that that is in the works. So I think now I'm very thankful that Mike Gardner and I are communicating related to this. Of course, it hasn't come to us yet, so I don't feel comfortable even talking about the art until it comes here. But let me segue into at least saying that I have been communicating with Jessica Friedman often, who is the part of BASE and who is also really kind of shoring up and heading this project that the Say Their Names Collective is doing. And so Jessica is at the point now where they are hosting a panel of people to select an artwork that will come to the Public Art Commission eventually for us to review. And that panel work will be happening in January. And I've been asked to attend the panel as a person from the Public Arts Commission to give them the basic information on the ordinance and the ways in which public art must fit in certain criteria in order to come and be approved by a commission and by the council and through the system. So I'll be not part of the panel. I'll give them a presentation and I'll step away and they will continue their dialogue for, I think, 1 to 2 or 3 meetings. And with that said, I was very blessed in talking with Jessica Friedman. She was like, how do I do this? So we had really lovely conversations and I actually connected her with Ann Seltzer, who some of you know, and Ann Seltzer is just such a wonderful leader in leading these panels and did so for our recent sculpture. So Ann and Jessica got together and chatted about how to run that panel. So I'm feeling really confident that they'll come to good conclusions and come to us with their best recommendation. So just to think forward, this probably won't even come to us, I would say, until February is my guess. So we'll be looking out for that in 2022. Any questions? Okay. Let's see. I think we are on to what we're doing currently, our work plan, sculptures, things in the coffer. And so the first thing is just sort of a report on Golden Connections, which is the title of the artwork that's to go at Railroad Park. And Aaron, you may chime in, but I'll just say that through communications between Aaron, myself, and Jennifer, materials are being purchased and the product is being made. So we're in a very exciting point. It sounds like there is a good agreement to engineering agreement with the powers that be as far as that goes. And Aaron can add to that if he'd like. And it sounds like at this point, Jennifer will contact us, Aaron and myself, within a month or so to give us a report on where they are. And is anyone else wanting to add to that? Aaron?
Yeah, so I mean, the only thing I would add in terms of the engineering sign off was they provided us plans for how it will be installed, gave it to Public Works to have a look. They basically said as long as the plans are engineered by an Oregon licensed engineer, it'll satisfy them. The building official similarly said that there was nothing with regard to the building code he was concerned with. And then I personally had a small concern, because I don't know if any of you looked at the details of those drawings, but it suggested that these 8 bolts will be cast in the concrete and that the sculpture will mate to those. And I didn't see detail for how those bolts will be put into the concrete in such a way that they will align. And so I reached out to Dave about that because that was my one personal concern. And he totally put me at ease because he explained exactly what I had expected, was that there will be a plate that those bolts will go into, and that plate with the bolts will then be cast so that they are all in tolerance. And so that's the only thing I would add about that.
Great. Thank you. Other thoughts, Ken?
In connection with that, is there any new information about the medallions?
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Any other thoughts about this?
Yay, progress.
Yay. It's very good. It's slow going, but it's great. Okay. Well, there's nothing more to add. The other question I have, and I know this is in its infancy. I know a few of you, Destiny, Joel, and Ken, were perhaps going to have a conversation about thinking about what type of art plaque or recognition plaque for this artwork would be, what it would be like, what type of material, just brainstorming. And so I wasn't sure. I know I put a lot of stuff on you guys this month. I'm not sure if you got together and were able to talk about that, but this is that time right now where you could share if you'd like.
So there should be an email in yours and Aaron's inbox that was recently sent. We've met two different occasions, so we're definitely making some headway on that, but we do have questions that are going to kind of propel us in one direction or another. And I think we were hoping to maybe snag some time in the December meeting to actually present our findings. So I don't know, Joel or Ken, if you want to share anything more, but we definitely are in process with it.
Okay. Well, first off, I'm sorry, I didn't see the email.
Well, it just came through. So I was just giving you a heads up. There is one.
And I'm not going to look at it, but do you three wish to ask some questions right now before you go into that December discussion, or do you wish to just table this until December?
I do have a quick question, potentially for Aaron. Aaron, I made a 3D model and a little rendering of what the plaque would look like, and we did it elevated off the ground. But then we were also thinking about potentially developing one that's in the ground, low down, so it didn't block the artwork from any way. And then in laser cut into the plate, we were thinking about doing a small map that shows where all the medallions are from that central hub, I guess. I'm learning all the terminology still, but and we were wondering about, I don't know the code in Ashland and Aaron, I don't know if you do either, but sometimes there's regulations for ADA in terms of blind, and if it has to be 4 feet off the ground or if it's sunk in the ground. And I don't know if there's some kind of unifying look that the city of Ashland goes with when it comes to that stuff. We're kind of torn. We think the elevated plaque would probably be the best, but depending on the size of it, if we add the map, it might get too big to have it off the ground. So it could be good to have it in the ground. So anyway, before going forward, we just wanted to know if there's a hard no on one of those options that we don't have to waste our time going in that direction.
I'm afraid I don't have an answer for you. Two people that immediately come to mind that I would want to speak to is, one, someone from the Parks Department. I know they have signage in some of the parks, and I would imagine they might have a policy. And then Mike Morrison from Public Works. So I will take a note that that is something that I need to look into. Obviously, in the ground is not a problem. We're doing that with the medallions. But I can understand why an elevated piece of signage might be a better choice. So let me look into that and try to bring something back at the December meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Let me ask one thing before we continue. Joel, when you say that, and I love the idea of having the map, when you say the size would be different for including that, what kind of size are you thinking? I'm just trying to visualize.
Well, we're honestly not quite sure yet if it'll get that much bigger. It might not be a problem. We just, but right now we're talking 2 foot by 3 foot.
Okay. And so like I'm just kind of like visualizing. So if it was an elevated plaque, like when I see that in a historical space or a space, I'm understanding what you're saying. So like a really nice, something that is ADA compliant, someone can look at it from an access rather than the ground. I'm all for that. And I'm hoping that we can do that. That's just my opinion, and other people can chime in. But I just was trying to visualize its size. Okay. Ken, you had your hand up.
Just briefly, Aaron, if you get that information, if you could let us know before December, then we could come with a complete proposal. If we have to wait till December to get that information, then it's going to push out through the holidays, our discussion. So the sooner the better.
Does anyone else wish to comment? And do you all have any other thoughts or questions you'd like to present to us?
I'm in agreement with what you said, Jennifer, about an elevated plaque. Especially I'm imagining that location, there's a lot of shrubbery around that spot. So it seems like if it's lower down, it's more likely that things might kind of impede your view of it. But I haven't looked at the location recently. That's my memory.
Well, I think maybe once we decide that either option is okay, maybe some of us, not all of us, take a little trek to the space and really think about where it should go. And then, of course, I think maybe even asking Jennifer her opinion, but, looping everyone into the conversation. Stanley. Can't hear you.
Can't hear you, Stanley.
Sorry. I think that it's really, I like the idea of the elevated plaque. And I think one of the concerns is if it's elevated, it's blocking some views of the sculpture. I'll just say that to me, the plaque doesn't need to be right in front of the sculpture. It just needs to be in the area, especially if part of the plaque is displaying the map where all the medallions are. You know, I mean, if you're reading the plaque, the sculpture could be behind you. So, you know, I mean, it could be on the other side of the sidewalk there, and you can read it and then turn around and view the sculpture unobstructed.
I like that.
Yeah.
Agreed. We'll take a good look at the space. I agree. Any other thoughts? Well, thank you so much, you guys, and I look forward to hearing what happens with that. I know it's going to be great, so I appreciate your hard work. Okay, let me look and see where we're going next. I believe that most of you received this, and my apologies to those who didn't have some of your names were not included in this email from the high school group, but Aaron caught that and resent it to you. So you should have received an invitation to the BIPOC celebration mural. I know it's a busy time next week. I would encourage everyone, if you can, spend even 10 minutes coming to be a part of that celebration. I think it's really, really, really important and inspirational and special. So this, what's happening next week between 4:30 and 7:30 is at the high school on Mountain Avenue. There will be a dedication ceremony to the mural, along with performances, food, celebration, and honoring Aiden Ellison. So I imagine it will be a very special and powerful place to be next Tuesday afternoon. I will be there. If any of you need more information or for us to resend that information to you, please let us know. And I will be there so I can represent in any way possible by all of you. Any comments or questions that you might have? Aaron?
I would just add briefly that Mountain Street's going to be shut down. They've already gotten permission to do that. So they're making a thing out of this. Probably the best parking option would be at the high school parking lot. I guess that's at Iowa mm-hmm. Mountain.
Yeah. Thank you. I know, that's terrific. Bring your jackets, bundle up, and come be a part of the conversation. And for those of you who I understand, it's Thanksgiving Eve. I understand that as well. Any other comments or questions related to the mural?
Jennifer, are you on the state? What will you speak in honor of this event for the commission? Have you been asked?
I haven't been asked. I'm happy to be here and just be present. You know, honestly, I want it not to be about me. It's not about some very other important topics, and so I'm pleased to be there and enjoy it and celebrate on behalf of the city of Ashland. Great question. Other thoughts, comments? I just want to, Aaron, I know I've talked with the members painting and they're on track. They're finishing. I have had a few citizens ask me, and I know this is a part of our commission, you know, that hopefully we will get a vandal-proof application put on that quickly. And because it already had an issue once. Is that something that they're responsible for putting on, or is that our responsibility?
That's a great question.
Okay. And so you're not sure either. So I think that I just want to instill that is done as quickly as we can do.
I'll send an email to Mike Morrison in Public Works after this meeting, and I'll copy you in on that to start that conversation.
Right. And they may already be doing it. I don't remember. But I want, if you could, maybe we loop, I think, Anya in. Then yep. Like, oh, we're on it or we've done it. But I just really, I want to protect their hard work.
100%.
Any other comments? Okay. Moving on to the medallions, another project that's happening. And I know some exciting things about the medallions, but I'll let Aaron share it.
So I had my monthly communication with Jennifer Andrews. You know, the last time I gave you guys an update, we were in the 4 to 6 week range. And so I was like, well, we must be getting close. I've lost track exactly, but I think there was another issue in the casting. Casting metal clearly is a tricky business. To that point, by the way, Dale had communicated with me because he had been under the impression earlier that there was a possibility that we might get one of the bad castings to do a test installation with it. I inquired about that. The castings that are fouled get melted down and get reused again. So that isn't a possibility. In terms of the medallions, where they are right now is they are in the patina phase, and she expects them to ship sometime shortly after Thanksgiving. I already have a shipping address. They'll come to the warehouse, the Public Works warehouse on Mountain. And Mike Morrison knows this is coming down the tracks. He was going to take up the installation. I don't have an update for you on when that is. There's obviously going to also be environmental concerns, coordinating with adjacent property owners. So these may come and sit in a warehouse for a period of time before we get them in the ground. But we are going to do an inspection when they arrive. I'm more than happy to involve anyone who wants to be a part of that. Dale has made it clear he wants to be a part of that. And so we'll know more about that shortly.
Cool. So this might be early December for the inspection and then sort of a cooling off time for a little while.
I think so. Yep.
Okay. Any other comments, questions?
I'm sure we'd all love to see them. ASAP.
Yeah, I don't know any details about shipping, but I have to imagine it's going to go by ground.
Really? Not by ship?
Good. Don't go by ship right now. Okay. Any other questions? All right. So we are now to action items. And I think that the action items we have been working at in the past kind of fold into our strategic plan. So let's talk about strategic plan for a while. I see that it's 9:18, so we actually have a little time. Without further ado, am I allowed to share screen, Aaron? I'm going to share screen with y'all. Just a minute.
Yeah, all panelists can share screens.
Great. Okay. I've got to fix this a little bit here. Okay, so here is the plan in its infancy, its tentativeness. And first off, I just want to say I really appreciate you all. I appreciate you all meeting with us as a group, and I appreciate you working as small groups and sending me information to kind of fix this up. I think today, let's just sort of read through or think about this. If you have comments and or changes, we can look at them. And I think really this is a great plan. It also has a lot of stuff. So I think what we need to do is kind of think about who would like to do what, possibly, if we can get some commitment in that way. And the other thing is maybe to prioritize. Maybe there's something that we think is great, but really realistically it's something that should happen in the summer. So we can push it, put it on this calendar as work on this in the summer, you know. So maybe putting a little bit of some time stamping to it and prioritizing and getting who, what, where, why, when, those basic ideas. So I think before we do that, I'm just going to first start with the top. And this is kind of...
Jennifer, could I interrupt briefly? Is there a way to remove the box that's on the plan that says now presenting to meeting, new present to meeting? Or, great. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm really so starting at the top, I just crafted this kind of based on the past plan and just thinking about how obviously this is in the works. So we're in the phase of completing marking Ashland Places. We will receive, review, and install the medallions. Eventually, we will receive, review, and install the hub sculpture. Receive, review, actually, I probably should put here under strategy for hub sculpture plan, the plaque, which we haven't done yet. Eventually, we will be receiving, reviewing, and installing a plaque and planning an event. All of this is, I'm just with Aaron, we communicate to see how these are going. They're ongoing. I feel like it's my responsibility to just keep track, with the exception of the plaque planning. So maybe I'll put a little dot in that we are in the planning phase of the plaque. Anyone wish to add more to this first one? It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, just a comment, Aaron. I think that with the unveiling ceremony, there will be an opportunity to build on that momentum in connection specifically with the next phase, which goes down to the future projects. So if there is an occasion for you and the Historic Community Commission share to say more than we're planning to go ahead, but that we are in the works. I think that would be a great opportunity. And whether guest there or not, I don't know.
Well, I would just say in response to that, that's going to be up to members of this commission to do that.
Right. So I think what I'm understanding from you, Ken, is that when it comes to the unveiling, we want to involve the Historic Commission, all commissions, people in Ashland, the City Council, to celebrate this in a big way and also plant the seeds for the hub number 2 and for MAP in the future. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, yes, certainly that. And if there's possibility for some interaction with the Historic Commission to have begun. In other words, I think it's going to take weeks, just looking at it, weeks, months maybe to get people in place who are going to work on it, collect information. Those of you that did this last one, Stanley probably can speak to that.
Yeah, I think that on your strategy for plan an event, I think by the time of that event, we should have had meetings and decide on what the next district is and maybe a short summary that we can present to the public. Here's what's coming next.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I have in mind. Stanley, well said.
Yeah.
All right. So I did in parentheses and I can reword it. But strategy four says map two in progress and making sure that that's part of the discussion in the celebratory space. Aaron.
Well, and I guess I might reiterate what I was just saying is that one of those strategies might be to have one of you all reach out to the historic commission through their staff liaison, get on their agenda, and go speak to them, because that is not something that I'm going to be doing on your behalf. That is something that you are going to be doing with them.
When is their next meeting, Aaron?
I can look that up right now.
It's my understanding that that's already embraced here with the task for Jennifer to reach out to the chair. Is that one and the same?
Right. So if I could just move forward, yes, goal number two, plan future projects. And I've heard from you all that you really want to do Mark Ashland Places Part Two. And so the second goal, of obviously the objective, is to begin the conversations. Now, I can do that now. I can start initiating contact with the Historic Commission now, and give them a report on where we are and ask if there's interest to go further. As Aaron's suggesting, I could do that now. I can do that closer. And that's up to you all when you wish for me to make initial contact. I will initialize the contact, but I won't be the one to be on that. I won't be planning that necessarily. Someone else might have to take the hub on that. So if you wish for me to get the conversation going, I'm happy to. Someone will have to take the baton and be meeting again with the Historic Commission.
Yeah, the way we did it in the past, we had a subcommittee within the Arts Commission. I was on that committee. I forget who else was.
Andy.
Andy was there.
Peter.
And I can't do it again. But I think the initial contact, I think what we really need to find out from the Historic Commission is what their appetite is for this project. Is it still, are they still totally supporting it? Because we can't do it without them, right?
That's right. And they've had turnover like any other commission. So from what I understand, the people who, this has been years in the making, the people who were on that panel and made all these decisions, some of them are gone. And so like Stanley suggesting, I can initiate contact and say, hey, are you all interested? And maybe they then will establish a subcommittee. And if they say yes, then we will need to establish a subcommittee. And Aaron.
Not to get too into the weeds, but I mean, I would think that the question of asking the Historic Commission's appetite is a question for that entire body, correct?
Like I would go to the Historic Commission, whoever's in charge, and say, hey, I'd like to give you an update. Maybe I should come to a meeting. And this is why we want to see if you all are interested. Yeah, take it to everyone.
They meet first Wednesday at 6 p.m.
Okay. I can't remember whether the initial project had any budget implications for the Historic Commission. Did they help us pay for that? I can't remember.
So as some of you may recall, the original agreement that was cooked up between Public Art and Historic was, we'll split it halvesies. But the Historic Commission doesn't have any money like we do. Yeah. So that was sort of a handshake deal. And Adam Hanks made the Historic half manifest, essentially. I would suggest that if this were going to move forward, to not get hung up on the dollars and cents, because that would be addressed at the point that we go to the city council and say, hey, look, map phase one is completed. Here's what we want to do next. Okay. Because just to give you the history again, when map phase one came before council, there was a broad menu of options that were provided to the council. Hey, big project, medium project, small project. And it was only after council said, okay, here's the scope, that the decision of what type of monies and how big that project was going to look. So the conversation about money is much further down the path.
Okay.
And I guess, too, as being suggested by people of the past, because this has been a longstanding activity, that we will need to approach the city council again, who is also completely turned over, and to garner their support for moving into the next phase. So that that's why I have that as a strategy, too. So once we establish the Historic Commission's interest and they say yes, then we will also need to probably establish a subcommittee, get the conversation started, and approach the city council.
Jennifer, if you need somebody on an ad hoc basis to help carry the torch, meet with people, whatever, I'd be happy to do that.
Thanks. I will first do the first leg and get the conversation started, and then I will put you as a possible committee member. How's that?
Perfect. Possible is in italics and in bold.
Well, there you go. Your name's there. Any other questions before we move on? So these are not in any order. They're just in the order that's in this thing. So I have no, there's no one place to start or one thing I prefer. These are all great ideas and they're big. So why don't we just first, before, since I have an audience and I'm not, the audience hasn't seen this, let's just look through goal three. Goal three is, of course, our biggest goal. Why don't I read through it really quick for those in the audience, and then we can come to each one. We need to strategize, like I said, well, what can we really do with each of these, and kind of think about who and when and how, okay? So for those in the audience who wish to know, goal number three is celebrating public art in Ashland through community engagement. The number one objective here, host and moderate community events, utilizing First Fridays as a way to do that, a tool and a place and a time. And strategies would be a member of the Public Arts Commission is present to help host a different artist show or gallery. Strategy two, an artist speaks to the community about their piece of public art at the site. Strategy three, the unveiling of a new piece or gathering at a site being prepped for an unveiling. And strategy four, the Public Arts Commission presents the power of public art presentation. So that's objective one. Objective two, improve and expand communication outreach. Strategies for that, social platforms, which are actually in the works as far as perhaps getting approval. But if they are approved, who will manage them? So securing an intern or administrator to help post, drive engagement, and manage the sites. Strategy two would be create a newsletter, monthly or quarterly, which highlights PAC projects, public arts info, artists feature, events, etc. Strategy three would be update website. And in parentheses, this would require a web developer and making this particular website more updated, adding things that aren't quite there, and flashy. Objective three, establish partnerships with community arts organizations. Strategies, establish ongoing relationships and liaisons with Ashland community art organizations, including AGA, Schneider Museum of Art, teachers and professors. Strategy two, collect and consolidate current arts directories to promote and inform local art events and news. Strategy three, publicize Ashland Public Art Commission events with local and regional art and tourism organizations and travel publications. Strategy four, survey regional public and private organizations to gauge interest in exchanges and collaborations, share responses, and pursue opportunities. There is a draft survey questionnaire that was drafted by the individuals who worked on Objective 3. And I think I might have put in my blue writing here, could this Strategy 4 fold into Strategy 1? Hammerhaw, not a big deal, just was thinking outside of my head there. Strategy 5, recruit skilled volunteers and or interns for these efforts. So there we have it. Lots of great ideas. I think I'm going to go back to number one. And now is the time when I think it's important with all three of these. All three of these are great. All three of these require work. All three of these have potential, but there's only so many of us. So with that said, what is doable now? What is doable in 6 months? Who wants to do it? And then we can go from there. I have to remind myself here of, okay, there we go. Okay, so comments, thoughts. Let's start with goal number one, host and moderate community events using First Friday as a platform. Ken.
I think we could come up with an elevator speech talk that we could rotate. Each one of us could adapt to do that. And we could rotate based on people's schedules and attendance at First Friday. It seems to me that's maybe I'm underestimating, but it seems to me that's a commitment to make one of those events, one of those Fridays.
Okay, so I'm actually going to back up and ask the people who, the people who thought of these four strategies, let me tell you how I interpreted them. And maybe I'm wrong, and I would love you to chime in a minute. The people who created these strategies, when I saw this list, I thought, oh, this is great. I could see a rotation of each of these, not something like this happening every time, but like one time it's going to be, I'm going to go to a gallery as a representative pack, but next month an artist is going to speak. And then the next month there is happens to be an engagement where we're unveiling, or I love, you know, going to a site, like perhaps we go to where the hub sculpture will be and we do something else there in relation to temporal public art or thinking about the space or community involvement. So that's how I read these strategies, and I would love for your thoughts, whoever invented. Cassie.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was envisioning as well, Jennifer, is that maybe there's a subcommittee, which this is definitely a project that I'm really excited about. So if there was someone else or two other folks or something that wanted to be part of, you know, helping to organize and schedule what it is that's happening each month at First Friday and connect with whether it's, you know, an artist who's already created a piece that might speak at their piece that month or, you know, an upcoming unveiling. And if it was for example, Jennifer Corio came and was at her site before it was unveiled or what, that kind of thing. And Ken, it could be that we bring in you or someone else on a rotating basis to do the Power of Public Art presentation or to host a gallery that, you know, you particularly love or know the owner of or something. So that was my thinking, Jennifer, also was it was a rotation, which also is fun because if it was every month we're presenting Power of the Public Art, that would just become, you know, it wouldn't be as appealing. People probably wouldn't come because next month it's going to happen again. And so yeah, I'm happy to, Joel was also part of the brainstorming of this. So if he wants to add anything and I know he had some of his own ideas as well, but I don't know if he's on right now.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry again, I got those, my suggestions a little late in, but yeah, I mean, seeing these as a rotating events sounds great. I mean, I think they're great ideas. And I think we, as Ken and some other people said, we just have to figure out based on our schedules who can get to these events and kind of organize them, host them, do all that. I was wondering, reading through those, how like hosting shows and all that, how would we put the word out? Would we be organizing sort of a call to artists, and what would our relationship with the galleries be, I guess? Like where would we fit in? Because it's mostly going to be about the art and the artists and then potentially the gallerists. And so I was just curious, like how our role would, what would we be adding to that conversation? Or are we just the organizers behind it? And I'm just kind of like, thank you, like for, you know, being part of this. And then that's that.
That's a great question. Before Ken had his hand up and Sally had his hand up, I would just say the one great thing about First Friday is it's happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Thing.
It's established.
And as Cassie suggested, so one of us happens to know that there's a great show or someone happens to know, say in January or February. And can I, as a public arts commissioner, be present and tell, maybe you have a table or you have yourself to just say, hi, I'm a public arts commissioner and I would love to share what we're doing. So I don't necessarily think, though, it's okay, we have to host or plan a show because shows are happening, though that's a great idea. So that's my initial thought, is that we sometimes are just folding into other shows to celebrate those artists, but also share who we are. And then other times, yes, we have, maybe we call a public art work from the past and say, hey, will you come and tell us about this work? And they maybe can show up on our First Friday. That would be great too. So I think it's really important to kind of use the system to not burn ourselves out, but rather to celebrate the works we see and try to book like ahead of time. Hey, in March, First Friday, will you come and speak about this? And we have to sort of see how realistic it is to get an artist here to speak about it, or who knows, maybe you have other suggestions, but that's mine. Stanley. And turn, we need to hear you.
Sorry about that. Yeah, so, I think it's that this is a great goal. And I think it's somewhat of a departure from the way the Arts Commission has functioned in the past. It seems like in the past, we've always been kind of a little bit underground. I mean, our meetings are public and everything, but nobody ever comes. And so I think the community in general, they might know we exist, but they have no idea what we do. So, I think this goal is great. But I think that we just have to acknowledge that it's just going to happen in dribs and drabs. I mean, I think the idea of a commissioner going to a gallery at an opening and introducing themselves as a member of the Arts Commission is good, but we're mostly about public art. Galleries are really not public art. They're there to sell a product. But I think if the commissioners that are willing to do that and introduce themselves, it just in a small way introduces the commission to the public. And I think that's a really good thing to do. But in terms of engaging people with the bulk of what we do is public art projects. And, that's not art galleries generally. So that's it.
Ken?
Well, obviously, this is organic and it's going to be interactive if we embrace it. It can be ad hoc. But to your point, Jennifer, the Ashland Gallery Association has this thing going with their involvement with First Fridays. And later on, there's some discussion we have for connecting with the Ashland Gallery Association. So it would seem to me that just doing that communication link will facilitate this particular goal. And to Stanley's point, yes, they're selling a product, but so are we. in the broadest sense, if you showed up at a gallery in one of these events and you happen to have a 2x3 picture of the Golden Connection, that almost says the whole story. And you could speak from there. Anyway.
Well, just also to respond to Stanley, yes, maybe galleries are selling a product, and but we also could table in the middle of the plaza and on the first Friday in June when it's lovely weather. So there's ways to make us be a part of First Friday that don't necessarily associate us with a certain gallery in that way. So more informative. or at
a that's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah. The one other thought I have, I agree with what you said, Stanley, and I think that the people who are going to galleries are the people who might be curious what PAC is doing. And so I think there is something about just being visible that might bring more interest and curiosity from the community, from the people who are already interested in art and what's happening in our community from the art perspective. So, yeah.
So my thought is, and we don't have to do it today, but my thought is that like in my brain, I can think of two or three things that perhaps could happen starting sometime in the next few months. One could be before Jennifer Corio and Dave's work actually is installed, perhaps we all meet there or have a meeting there. And that could be, I'm not sure, let's guess maybe March or something. It could be rainy, but we could do something there that's celebratory before it even happens. Or maybe we do it the week or the month after it happens. I'm envisioning this tabling thing. So what I guess I'm saying is that whoever wants to take this on, maybe the goal would be let's visualize and set some easy, doable things and get them in the books. That would be my suggestion. So we can talk about that more, or we can continue on to talk about the other pieces, other parts of this strategy. Any other thoughts?
I would volunteer to be part of a committee that gets together and plans some ideas and then comes back to PAC with the ideas and sees, you know, what you all think in terms of schedule and you know, just essentially has an informal presentation of a potential timeline if anyone else is interested.
I will work with you, Cassie.
I would.
Well, no, Ken, you have many other goals. We're going to hold you off for a bit here.
No problem.
We'll see how you feel after we move to the other strap.
Thank you for managing me. I'll send the check.
So moving on, and if anyone wishes to join Cassie and myself, that's great. For now, at least we can try to
start
stuff in the books.
That sounds great.
Moving on to the next one. Improve and expand communication outreach. So those who put these forth, I believe that was Laura and Destiny, right? And Laura's unfortunately not here today, but Destiny, do you wish to speak to this? Just for those in the audience who may not know, we did put forth a request to be able to create a Facebook page or use social media, and Aaron might have a comment. Yes, Aaron.
And that request has formally been forwarded from the community development director to the city manager, the interim city manager. I don't have an idea of how long it will be until I hear anything, but I will continue to follow up with my boss at a level just below pestering.
And that's fine, and that's great. So thank you, Destiny, for getting that ball rolling. And so we are in this waiting game. A few things here. Secure an intern or administrator. So, yeah, who is that? Who will do this? That's a great idea, but who will follow through? I loved the idea of creating a newsletter, which highlights PAC projects, public arts info, and so forth. And then, of course, like, we do have this underlying desire, and we keep talking about it, but, you know, updating the website or the platform where we see public art is another strategy here. All three of these are great. All three of these. What is the priority? Who wants to do it? What do you think is the most effective one to work on right now? Stanley, you have your hand up. And then after Stanley, Destiny, I want you to just kind of, since you worked with Laura, speak to your ideas. But Stanley first.
Yeah. Am I muted?
No, you're
wrong. Okay. So, yeah, these things are all great, but every one of these things requires a lot of time. And to me, these three things in this category in general is just absolutely ripe for interns. I mean, I'm sure there's people at the university or the local community colleges who are at a place in their education where they need to take on a project. And this could be one. We're nonprofit. It would be a perfect thing to do. Now, you know, that often works, and I don't doubt we could find somebody to create a newsletter for us. Somebody who is in the communications department at some university might love to take this project on. The problem is that interns are always short term, and so there needs to be a way to continue it. And I think it's problematic to have it start by an intern and then they move on and you bring another intern in to pick it up. I mean, there needs to be some, you know, central authority that's us basically to sort of oversee this. But all three of these are going to require a lot of hours.
First off, let me have Destiny speak, since Destiny was the one who came up with Laura these ideas. Destiny, would you like to share anything, your thoughts, your ideas?
Yeah, I think, you know, the goal with this type of objective where it's improving and expanding communication and outreach, that anything that we come up with under this objective is going to require additional work. That's just the name of the game when it comes into any sort of outreach and communication around that. So definitely was factoring that as a consideration when we created these strategies. However, I do really feel that PAC, Ashland, Southern Oregon could benefit from these different strategies, just moving us into this era of, you know, social media and digital content and providing information through that lens, since that seems to be the name of the game these days with receiving information. And also open, you know, to is there a better way? But I feel that that's where Laura and I were trying to figure out, was how can we best expand upon these strategies and also not bog all of us down with having to own this too. So.
Okay. Now I know I had a few hands. I think Ken comment.
Well, just taking Stanley's point, it would seem to me that there's a partnership here with the communications department, let's say at SOU, and one of those faculty members might have this as part of their portfolio to engage an intern and then pass it on intern to intern to intern, and whether it's communication department or maybe collaboration with, you know, a couple departments, could be art and business, but that focus would, I mean, that point of locus would be the focus.
Other thoughts? So we are in a waiting pattern for, okay, first question. We have three things here. Which are we most eager to get to happen first? Is that the social media platforms? Is that a newsletter? Because those are different audiences and they're, you know, they're just different products. And then lastly, the website, which we already kind of have a website. Anyways, I just want to get a feel for you before we even go further of these strategies. Which do you think would be the most important thing to really get moving on as soon as we can?
This is really a question, but I'm assuming that for Aaron that the city has a database with which they create their monthly newsletter. And I would think we could have a piece in there, at least advertising, and use that database for a newsletter, which goes to every home, I assume, to every home in the city.
So the utility billing does send out a newsletter, and if we wanted to put something in that newsletter, we can certainly do that through administration. But getting the database and sending out your own mailer, I'm not so sure about. Also, when you're talking about mailing, there are fees associated with that. But getting visibility through the city's newsletter, I'm sure we can do that. So, I mean, if you guys were to write up something to promote, hey, say one of these tabling events, and you want to get visibility through the city's newsletter, I can help make that happen. It does need significant lead time.
All right. That's good to know. And when I envision a newsletter in this day and age, I don't envision one coming to my mailbox.
Yeah. Seems to me this is low-hanging fruit. However, with the city's existing resource, somehow we take advantage of that.
Yeah, it is a great idea. I hadn't much thought about it. Other opinions here about what you think would be... I think our students at SOU would be very interested in the social media as an intern, if that got approved. Probably the more effective. I also know just from like talking to Peter Finkel that if our social media went out there, he or one person, and there's other people who would do the same, would have numerous groups and people who then would connect Peter through us, and it would be just sort of this chain of information going out in a variety of places. So that's kind of my thought, is that if the social media platform was approved, that's the one I think that's really the most effective in 2021. I don't know how you all are feeling. I'm trying to get a feel.
I agree with the social media platform.
I did just a comment. Go ahead.
I was just going to say being the top priority.
My thought here is that we're focusing on the vehicle, and I think that some time spent focusing on which audiences are we trying to reach. Students, for example, could be one, but they're temporal. The Public Art Commission's support mainly would come, I think, from existing citizens who are residents and so forth. Anyway, looking at the audience as part of this.
As an intern, I'm thinking of social media as something everyone looks at.
Mm-hmm. I'm one of the three people in North America that's not on Facebook.
Not either. I actually just deactivated. Good for you, Tim. But everyone else is. Yes. So, okay, well, I'm feeling like this is what we need. We're still in a holding pattern for social platforms. There is a possibility of creating a newsletter. These take someone's action and or securing an intern. Who wants to continue to think and or strategize this? My thoughts are if there was a blurb that was created by a committee, I could sort of feel out where an SOU to send that blurb, sort of as a request for student interns, if that's the route we want to go, and perhaps we can get a student who... so that's something we could do. Someone create a blurb asking for a student who's willing to do this type of work. And they could maybe do a newsletter, like a MailChimp newsletter or something. Certainly, then we have to have a list of people to send it to. So this is kind of, these are great ideas, but they're also ones that need to be followed through. And I'm not sure who would like to take that on. So I'll leave it there. And it's, we do have this sort of social platform thing in the approval phase. Maybe once we're allowed to, maybe someone here will be like, okay, now I'm ready to maybe go forward with this. It needs some action. And so obviously this is lower priority. This is what I'm hearing from you all. that this is lower priority as far as our ability physically and mentally to do. We will continue to do these future events. We're going to perhaps tackle First Fridays, but perhaps the communication is kind of on a let's wait and see until someone's really interested in doing it. Because of time, let's go to strategy three or objective three, unless someone has any further thing they would like to say.
One quick observation. The social media platform requires the least amount of heavy lifting to establish. It's pretty easy to set up an account. And then we just need to do a little blurb about what we are and who we are. And then people can start posting and then we can respond. I mean, just that seems like to get the ball rolling on this, that has the least resistance. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I do feel like it is doable. I think that whoever takes it on, they're good at it and enjoy it. It's a very doable project.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts? Okay. I just lost us. It's being kind of funny. We're looking at objective three here. And I believe this was Ken and
Stanley.
So once again, establishing partnerships with community organizations. Let me have you all, since you worked on it, tell us what you think here is doable and what would you like to say? I'll just open it up for conversation.
Yeah, I'll start. Ken and I have worked on this, and I think one question we ask ourselves up front is we need to find out whether these public and private art organizations are interested in collaborating. You know, we don't really know that for sure. And so we kind of thought strategy four might be a good way to get that ball rolling. And it also would help us with strategy two, which is to collect and consolidate art directories. I know some of those exist already, but our idea was to do a Google survey. They're very easy to put together. We drafted one and it's very much a work in progress. I'm not sure. Did we share that? Who did we share that with?
You shared that with me.
And yeah.
We have a little in this initial discussion, I'll let you all share it, or you can resend it to my email and I can quickly share it with y'all. So I agree. Like when I looked at strategy four, it reminded me of strategy one. And that's why I put that little blue comment, could this fold in? Because obviously they're one and the same. You know, you're establishing who's interested, what they wish to do. I do understand, Ken, that Schneider Museum is interested in some sort of a communication.
Right.
So that is one way in which this has been established. Anything more you two or anyone would wish to say in relation to establishing partnerships with community arts organizations?
Well, I think to Stanley's point, that survey would be, quote, low-hanging fruit. Could be done. I'm assuming Stanley could do this. You all contribute to the wording and questions. There's a working draft, and I think to take it the next step wouldn't be too hard. And beyond that, I've talked with Scott at the museum, and with regard to having a regular, some kind of interaction, attending the meeting of their, I've forgotten what it's called. I used to think Friends of the Art, Friends of the Schneider, but it's got a new name, and the Gallery Association. And I could do that. They meet once a month, and I don't think it's necessary to go to every meeting. But that also seems to me low-hanging fruit to begin the conversation.
All right. So I think what I'm hearing is a commissioner, perhaps you can, starts to visit different organizations, Schneider Museum, Ashland Gallery Association. I mean, you could go beyond Ashland as well to, you know, as far away as Grants Pass. I know they have a museum.
The Grants Pass, I have talked to the director of the Grants Pass, and she is absolutely thrilled to be able to collaborate. So that's one for sure.
Rogue Gallery, is that what it's still called, I think?
Yeah, it's still there.
I think there's an art collective that's more younger artists in Medford. I don't know their name. Maybe it's Marrow. So there's a variety of places to start to make these connections to collect their needs. Is that what I'm hearing? And then just making sure I'm understanding, for all of our sakes, is this to just share public art, what is public art is doing in Ashland, or what we as commission are doing, or what? Is there more that you wish to establish?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because and Ken and I, you know, struggled with this a little bit. I mean, once you connect with all these people, then what? I mean, why are you doing it? It's in some ways, this objective relates to objective two as well. You know, it's almost a chicken or the egg kind of thing, because we would like to connect with other people, and objective three is trying to do that, but it also would serve to put together a more detailed and accessible directory of arts organizations. And you know actually I think it's not just arts organizations, it's artists. We would like to have a platform and a place for anybody, individual artists even, can know that there's an organization out there that they can contact that could be a community resource for them. So, you know, this questionnaire, it's a little bit difficult because who do we send it to? We don't have a comprehensive directory yet. But, you know, it's something that we could just have, and it's always there. And if somebody's interested, we can say, look for an email. There's a questionnaire where you fill it out. The great thing about Google surveys is the responses get sent back immediately to a spreadsheet. And so that spreadsheet's always there, and just gets added to as people respond. You know, we can have this questionnaire up there for years, and it just keeps adding to the list of people who are interested in us. So
just going back to basics, if you look at the code that establishes the responsibilities, I can't remember, it's F or G, but one of those is specifically to reach out to other art organizations. And that is what we're doing with this attempt to reach out. And it's going to be organic. There'll be responses. There'll be people that don't respond, but we can at least get that beginning cohesion of communications, which I believe will lead to events and publicity and opportunities for advancing the goals of the Public Art Commission.
Any other questions or comments that anyone else has for Ken and Stanley?
I just have a comment about the form. I like the idea of the Google form, and I can see how it can relate to the first two objectives that we just reviewed, that it could be something where we have this, you know, go to this website, our website, and you can click the link to go to the Google form and receive, if we did decide to create a newsletter, then you're signed up. We have your email, you're part of the list that's receiving updates about what's happening through the public arts. So it does seem like a great way to collect data about who wants to know what we're doing. And like Stanley said, it's something that can exist and essentially operate on its own for a long period of time without much maintenance. Yep. So I just see the overlap into all of them. And then additionally, the Ashland Gallery Association is who Jennifer and I would be contacting, right, to coordinate First Fridays, Jennifer, to say we'd like to do something. Is that true? Or would we just do our own thing? You and I could talk about that. But it seems like there's potential there for a little bit of communication overlap as well.
Yeah. I don't know if we need the permission, like, say, to stand on the plaza rather than through the city on a First Friday. If we want to use a gallery, I guess we could communicate with AGA, but would it be more just with that gallery? So those are good questions that I don't have the answers to. I do have, did you have more you would like to add?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just showing you. These are the questions. I wasn't able to open Stanley and Ken. I wasn't able to open the form you sent, the Google form. But here were the questions that you were considering to put into this survey. So your organization, what if they're not an organization? What if they're just a person? So that's my first question there. Primary contact, title, information. My first question reading is this a survey that goes to an organization rather than a person? Because that's how it's sounding to me.
Well, it's going to go to an email address, whether it's a person or, yeah.
All right.
So the number four down there, so galleries, individual artists, is at least the idea was to include them as well.
Okay. So maybe it's semantics, you know, what word you use.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are you would be a better question. And then you could list all these things. Does your organization believe Southern Oregon is an arts destination? How would you rate community support for your organization? Now, I'm not sure why. So my question to you, I'm putting this back in your plate, in your laps. I'm not sure what the goal of some of these questions are. So talking through this questionnaire, maybe with all of us, let's just read it for a minute. Does your organization believe Southern Oregon is an arts destination? How would you rate community support for your organization? Or maybe that is for yourself as an artist. Once again, semantics. Would your organization participate in exchanges of information, openings of art shows, educational events? Would your members participate in and keep current your participation in a regional online art directory if one could be supported? What suggestions or other art organizations would you recommend for the survey? So these are all great questions. My question to everyone here is, what is the goal of this survey? What is the information it's trying to collect? And is it the type of stuff that we as the Public Arts Commission wish to collect? These are just really general questions I'm asking back to you.
Yeah, I mean, I really understand your question, Jennifer, and to be honest with you, this is a little bit off the cuff when I started this. And, you know, Ken and I just went back and forth a little bit on it. It is absolutely a work in progress. And I think examining every one of these questions and making sure that that it's the right question to ask and why are we asking it is absolutely essential. As far as any of these individual ones, you know, I think that the one that says, how would you rate community support for your org? That to me is just to find out, you know, what people think about Ashland as a community that supports the arts, basically. But you know, any of these questions are optional. We can add to it. And I'm really glad we're looking at it because I think in the next, at least by the next meeting, maybe we can have a little more, feedback from everybody and, you know, put it under the microscope a little bit more, because I think this needs to be really good and concise, and every question needs to have a purpose. You're absolutely right, Jennifer.
And another question I have, or just kind of reiterating on that too, like, is the goal here for the Public Arts Commission to provide these things? if it was more like, does the Public Arts do you feel as an artist the Public Arts Commission supports you or sees you? I mean, so maybe being even a little more direct. But once again, this just comes back to, what is the goal? We have to bring this back to what do we want to hear? What answers are we collecting? Because all of these are really different answers that I'm going to collect, and I'm not sure then what I'm going to do with this as a member of the Public Arts Commission, and how much power I have to do anything about them at all, you know? So,
yeah. It could be a can of worms. I absolutely hear you. It could be a Pandora's box you don't want to open. There is that risk a little bit.
Yes, we want to open it, but I want to have it be transparent, or I want to, if the goal is to say, you know, if your goal is, okay, is Ashland helpful to my gallery? Is Ashland helpful to me as an artist? Is Ashland showing artwork on the streets I like?
There was an intro paragraph. I'm not seeing it on your...
Oh, I might have it here.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
So the Ashland Public Art Commission is reviewing our forward-looking goals. It has been noted that our commission may benefit from increased communication, collaboration, and exchange of information with regional arts organizations. We and perhaps other organizations, both public and private, lack information about the scope and missions of regional public and private organizations. We ask you to complete this survey in order to gather a more comprehensive list of regional art organizations and gauge interest in potential exchanges and collaborations. We will share the collated responses with you. Thank you in advance for your thoughtful responses. So reading that makes a little more sense, but it's still really...
Let me jump in here a minute. The purpose for this is to fulfill the code item F, and I'll just read it briefly. It says, the commission shall engage connections with other local, regional, and national organizations working for the benefit of art and preservation of artistic values and other similar activities. This is a place to start to do that. I don't believe it's been done in this quite this way. And what I hear in the conversation is looking at the granular level, as Stanley said, we need a place to start to find out who's interested. So, yes, we can work on the questions with some degree of specificity, but we have to find out who the audiences are. And that's the purpose of the survey, to do number F. And G, following on, is the commission shall recognize and encourage groups and organizations that enrich Ashland life and bring cultural and artistic values and artifacts to the city. This is one of the pathways to, in my mind, to approach both of those tasks.
All right.
Great. Didn't add much.
No, you did. I think that the goal of the, this is just me speaking, and I want everyone's opinions to be heard. The goal of the survey just needs to be clear. And I am all for going to organizations and saying, hey, this is who we are. And are you interested in collaborating? Or me coming twice a year and telling you what we're doing, and maybe you coming to our meeting and telling us what you're doing. So I guess just really kind of understanding the role that you wish to come out of this exchange. I totally get having a survey, getting it, and where are you going to get it, who you're going to get it out to, and what are you collecting? Just being more clear would be great. So it just needs to be workshopped. Definitely needs more workshopping.
Yes, I agree.
Sure.
Other thoughts or comments, and I will stop talking. Because we are running short of time, but not, we still have time. So I want to make sure everyone's being heard. And I'm going to go back to the other document, just because that's where we were. So just a moment. I think it's here. So once again, based on objectives in our website and in our ordinance, we're establishing or maintaining partnerships with community arts organizations. How are we doing it? And all of these great ideas have come into play as strategies. The question is, I guess number one with number four are probably the first things to do, right? Is to reach out to groups, and this number four strategy of sort of surveying those groups or organizations to see what they want from us. But the important thing I'm just going to say is whatever you ask them, we have to deliver. So what do you want them to know, or what can we provide? I don't know if I can provide them with advice on art in other ways other than as a commissioner in Ashland dealing with public art, you know. So I think it's just important that we realize what is our role as a public arts commission and how are we doing this exchange, and make sure that, I guess I just need to see the survey fixed. Other thoughts? And do you, Kendall, because you seem very interested in this, Stanley, I'm not sure if you are, do you wish to take this on, to keep working on this, to meet with these groups? Shall I put you as a name?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind my name being there.
I likewise.
And I like working with Ken, so.
Awesome. Okay, so. Yeah,
family's terrific.
So, I have, just cleaning this up. And so this is sort of something that I haven't put on either of these. I haven't put like doing now, but maybe your first goal will just be to start, I put them on place, to start establishing these relationships and start meeting. And, you know, like maybe if you say, hey, Jennifer, I'm going to the Schneider Museum of Art next month. Great. Let me know. And we'll just kind of keep tabs that you're on task. And then the two of you, if you want to rethink or think about this survey, maybe do it again and bring it to us next month and we can talk about it more.
Yeah, I think we should edit this a little bit. The other thing is I was going to ask, maybe Aaron can answer this question. I know that when we've done RFPs or RFQs in the past, we've had some lists that we sent those to. Mm-hmm. I would love to have those lists so we kind of have a place to start.
I'm more than happy to forward that to you. There's been a number of attempts to try to consolidate lists, and the current form is not terribly useful because it's a Word document. For it to be more useful, it ought to be in an Excel spreadsheet where you can do things like mail merges and get the data out. The other problem that's come up is that during the last RFQ that we did, I don't know if you recall or not, we used that website called Send In Blue. Yeah. And we realized after the fact that we were in violation of their terms of service, because their terms of service required that the list that you are sending to was entirely opt-in. And we did not make that list from people who opted in. That's an amalgamation of artists and organizations that we've collected. And so that's something we need to be aware of as well. But I'll send you that list so you can start to work on that.
That'd be great.
And it could be that you create the survey, you have the link, so that it's open to anyone. And then as you go to places, say you take a visit to the Schneider Art Museum group, then you forward that link to their leader, who forwards that link on to their people. And that's how you slowly establish this, not necessarily the directory, but you get the word out. So you kind of use each individual organization's own group to collect data.
Well, and we also can make it clear that feel free to forward this survey to people you may think would be interested. It's not a restricted thing at all.
Yeah, I think
those two ideas are in the survey.
Yeah.
The wording, maybe we tweak it, but they ask others, who would you suggest, and will you keep your list up to date if you play? So yeah, we can. It's a work in progress. Aaron's going to start with the email, and you get champagne and christen the boat.
I think that we're kind of down to the last few minutes. So great. I think it's cool. Let's work on it. Let's kind of start to put our toes in the water. I think it's terrific. And I'm going to stop sharing so I can look at your faces at the end of the meeting. Any other things you wish to talk about in relation to this? And we can come back to the strategic plan. I think that it's, once again, I feel like it's a living document. I feel like it's tentative and working, and we can revisit it on occasion. It looks like we have a few things that we're going to start working on. Any other comments, needs that you all have?
I just want to thank you, Jennifer, for doing this in this form, which is really interactive and organic and will grow, as opposed to we make a memo, which we put in a binder, which goes on the shelf until 3 years from now, and then we pull it off and see what happened. So this is really good. Thank you.
Sounds good. Any other thoughts?
I have one question, which I don't know. It could also be to Aaron, but we were talking about, what about setting up a Dropbox account for PAC? Is that...
And there... what would be the goal? What would you put in it? Like these documents?
Oh, well, like me as a new commissioner, I don't know where to find anything. So like anytime, I mean, it's a cloud service, so we could literally set up folders for past RFPs and RFQs. I'm sure the city has their own database, but just for us. So like anything that we create, like I did some 3D things and renderings and whatever, but I could put them in a subfolder that our subcommittee creates, so that, you know, just be like, oh yeah, there's that one thing. But I just don't know where anything is. And so I just, it would be interesting to just set something like, this is this project, and, you know, be dated by year and all that. It's very fluid way to keep track of data, so that if anybody, you know, even during this meeting, be like, oh yeah, it's in this folder, like pull it up and share on the screen or yeah, anything like that. But we've been talking about that a lot just in our subcommittee, because me and Destiny and Ken are all pretty new, so we're trying to hunt down stuff. Ken's definitely done a great job, but I have just been trying to find, you know, what is this sculpture I don't know about from before. So anyway, I don't know if that's possible, but I could definitely help set that up if that was possible.
So I would just say, in the past, you know, commissioners have used, and there is a there's a Google account. I wouldn't go and try to figure out what it is. It's something like public art. I would need to go find it again. If you wanted to set up a Dropbox account and share it with the other commissioners, absolutely fine. I mean, it's one of the all of the advisory commissions are like this. You guys don't have access to the city servers. Right. And so if you were to create a Dropbox account and share it with the other commissioners for you all to collaborate on, great.
Okay.
Right. So this becomes the perpetual problem in my case, I feel. Like, as a chair, like, I had nothing. And so then I went to Aaron, and Aaron became my Dropbox. Like, Aaron, where's this? Aaron, yeah. It is problematic. So I know, and I've only been around for a short while on this time with the PAC, that there was a Google account that then we didn't have access to. So it would be great to have a Dropbox, to have stuff that we all could look at. The problem is then too, is then it gets lost as people leave, or So I think it's great. We need to strategize so that there's something that is administered and can be consistent, regardless of who's in charge. Can we like think about that?
Oh yeah, I mean anything related to it should probably be, you know, PAC email.
That might be the problem, is that related to city, and I know we're out of time.
Like, well,
how do we make it so that it's just always exists and someone houses it?
So maybe Joel and I can pick this up offline, because I do have a city email account that is publicart@ashland. And Joel, perhaps if you wanted to call me later on today, we could discuss it. You could use that account to establish it. Obviously, I'm the receiver of that email, and so for authentication, I'm going to have to help you with that. But that would be a good way to set it up to ensure there is some continuity moving forward, and I'm willing to help with that as well, Jennifer.
Yeah, I think the key to it is a table of contents, which is always maintained as current. So you go to the table of contents and then the folder. It is, you don't have to already know where the folder is.
All right.
Thank you, Joel.
Yeah. I agree, Joel. That would be great.
Well, I just think I know we got to go, but just for like even the digital assets, if there is a social, you know, a social media person, we just have like, this is our database of digital assets for PAC. And then this is where we have our templates for RFPs and RFQs, and just go pull them. And then everybody that's associated with that account that's currently in PAC gets associated with that account. And then when they leave, they basically get blocked. I mean, you can just take their email off and they have no more access to our Dropbox account, and they won't get any of our updates. But I mean, it just kind of sits there. One thing I do have to say is that depending on our size of content, we may have to pay. So I have a personal Dropbox account. It's only 100-something. Well, it's like 100-something bucks a year, but it really would manage all of these things. And then I know if somebody new comes on, you're like, oh yeah, here's the Dropbox account. Feel free to peruse through all of our past projects, and here's all the things and all that. So
true. So I see Aaron shaking his head. We will talk about the fact that maybe we do, or maybe we're allowed to spend $100 to maintain a Dropbox. Keep it in your mind, Aaron. And I think I better let y'all leave. We've been here for 2 hours. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for working so hard. I know I pushed you, and I appreciate you. And have a happy Thanksgiving and a happy day with your family.
And I'm right back at you.
I'll see you next time.
Good to see everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you.